Did you know Bridgestone developed a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials? Making a difference today for future generations. That's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
Hello, hello, hello. So good to be here with you today. I'm sitting here in my very, very messy bedroom, surrounded by dirty laundry. There is a half-eaten sandwich here on my desk, and not because I don't want to eat all of the sandwich, but because I already ate an entire sandwich and then got a second one, and I'm saving this one for when I finish recording this podcast. I'm telling you all of this because I realized something last night. I realized that I am going to drop a lot of balls this month. I'm going to drop them. It's going to happen, and I have to be okay with that. We are 3 weeks out from the Sicilian Inheritance launching. Thank you all for buying it. I can't wait for you to start reading it and for all of us to start talking about it. And I'm doing so many things for it. That means that I can't do a lot of other things. And I made a list of those things that I cannot do. I wrote about them on the Substack. It made me feel so much better. It made me feel better just to acknowledge that I might not text my friends back right away. I might not give my kids a bath as often as I should. They're kind of stinky. They're stinky right now. I will not work out as much as I would like to. I will eat whatever weird shit is in the fridge because I haven't gotten to the grocery store. I will miss some deadlines and ask for extensions. And all of that is okay. It's okay, but it is hard for a type A person like me to acknowledge dropping any balls. But I have. And I feel good. I feel really good now that I made that list. And I just wanted to share it with you in case you are also like me and you hate dropping the balls. You want to accomplish everything. You want to be everything to everyone. And sometimes it just feels nice to acknowledge that we can't. And that is okay. You know, one of the things that I missed out on doing last week is I wanted to publish this episode when my friend Zibby Owen's book, Blank, launched. I was very excited about that. But then I was in Sicily on this reporting trip and I couldn't get it done. But now here we are. We are talking today to Zibby Owen's. We're going to talk about the world of book influence. How do you find books that you love these days? How do people discover books? Zibby's been at the forefront of getting books in front of readers for the past decade. She's done all of the things. She's been a podcaster, a content creator, an event planner, and now she's a publisher and a bookstore owner. This woman lives and breathes books. Oh, also, she's a mom to a lot of kids, a lot of them. And I mention that, even though we would never mention that about a man, because we do need to talk about this as women. And I think that we do need to model for younger women, hey, you can be this successful person at whatever you want to do and also be a great mom. And that's okay to talk about. I know a lot of authors actually don't like to be asked that question. How do you write books and also have kids? But I love being asked that question. And I love it when people come up to me after events and say, hey, I've been scared about having kids. And thank you for showing me that I can write books and also be a mom. That was a sidebar, but that's why I mentioned that Zibby is also a mom. She is. And she's seen this industry from so many different angles. Today, we are going to talk about book influencers and celebrity book clubs. Over the past couple of weeks, when people found out that I have a book coming out, they often say, oh my gosh, you should be the Today Show book club pick. To which I say, yeah, I should. That would be awesome. The truth about the celebrity book clubs, and there's three of them, is that those books get chosen so far in advance. I mean, I'm talking like a year to 9 months in advance. And I know this because Christine and I got chosen to be the GMA book club pick, the Good Morning America book club pick for We Are Not Like Them. And they told us so far in advance. And then they told us that we couldn't tell anyone. They're like, you're sworn to secrecy, or you might not get to be the book club pick. So what did Christine and I do? We immediately went to a bar and had a lot of margaritas and told our bartender, Tiffany. But we swore Tiffany to silence, and as far as I know, Tiffany didn't tell anyone. But I tell you that story as an entryway into the fact that the celebrity book clubs have become big business. Publishers submit the books, they get chosen very far in advance, and yeah, Sicilian Inheritance, please pre-order it today, comes out in 3 weeks. I do not hold out hope that Jenna is going to call me the morning of and be like, make it to the studio now, Piazza. But maybe, maybe, because we always have to hope for things, right? We do. We do. Zibby and I are going to dig into all of that. You probably know Zibby from her podcast, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. But we're also going to talk about her brand new novel, Blank, which is why I wanted to have her on this show in the first place, which is now a national bestseller. It is. And it's well-deserved because it is a rollicking, delightful satire of the publishing industry that the publishing industry really needs right now. I'm so excited to welcome Zibby Owens to Under the Influence today. Hi.
Hi.
You've had a morning already. You've had a day. This is the best way to start a podcast. Just two busy women running around town and then hopping on for a chat. That's what we do. You look great. I'm trying this new French kind of retinol thing, and I just look like I have Vaseline on my face all the time. Mm.
But yeah, I have some creams I'm about to start, but I can't bring myself to test them out.
Oh my gosh, it's so much. But being us is a lot of work.
It is.
It is a lot of work. Well, there's a lot of things that I want to talk to you about today. We're going to get into book influence. Sometimes it feels like the Wild West to me. Sometimes it feels like the great democratization of book content to me. I want to go through what the hell has happened in the past 10 years, because I feel like you've been at the forefront of all of this. You really have.
Thank you. That's lovely.
but before we do that, I want to tell you that I finished your new novel last night. Blank.
Okay, be honest. I can take it.
It's exactly the kind of thing that I want to be reading right now. It was delightful and real and honest, and I really enjoyed it. Will you tell our audience what it's about?
Sure. Blank is about a woman named Pippa Jones, who is a best-selling author, but she cannot come up with an idea for her second novel, which is due imminently. She almost had one finished. It was called Podlesters, but as she finished it, the biggest deal author in the country went on the equivalent of GMA and had the same exact cover and title and everything. So she had to toss it and couldn't rebound from that. So she comes up with this idea with her two kids that she is going to hand in her book Blank, and that will be a commentary on the publishing industry itself. So it is about that. And it is also really about being a mom to two kids, dealing with marriage, dealing with all the demands on motherhood and careers and everything else. And it all takes place over 6 days in LA.
I felt such a kinship with Pippa, I have to tell you, because very obvious reasons, my friends. Clearly, I am an author. I am a mother of young children. I am constantly hustling to figure out what the next thing is. And her plan seemed very brave, but also terrifying because, yes, this is a common. I think about things to do as a commentary on the media world in general all the time, right? I think about going on strike because the media world treats creators and especially women creators very badly. But then if I went on strike, I would have no money to live, to raise my children. So that's not possible. So it was very escapist for me to think about Pippa's stand in this way, because these are all things that I would love to do. Like, I would love to quit social media, but then no one's going to buy my books. and so, yeah, I really enjoyed it. I'm excited for the world to be able to get it. They can pre-order it now, right?
They can. It comes out March 1st. But yes, available for pre-order wherever they want. Yeah, it's a quick read. It's fun and light. And I just decided if I was going to spend time writing a novel, it had to amuse me. It had to be fun to write it. Otherwise, why was I even bothering? So I hope it feels fun to read.
It felt really fun to read. And, you know, we've talked about this before because you read a really early copy of The Sicilian Inheritance.
Which I loved.
I love it, too. And when we talked about it, I said, look, I just wanted to write something I wanted to read right now. Like, I wanted something fun, light, with just the right dose of feminism. So I felt, you know, vaguely smart after reading it. But an adventure with a woman who was a lot like me and going through all of my same shit. So I think as a writer, to write something fun, it feels different. This felt really awesome when I was working on it. I could tell that you were having fun when you were writing Blank.
Oh, thank you. Well, you too.
It really felt that way. And so this segues nicely into what we're going to talk about, because it's insane that both of our books, Blank and The Sicilian Inheritance, are coming out 5-6 months from now. And yet we're already doing the publicity and trying to get people to pre-order. And this feeds into the world of book influence and how I think that everyone is working harder than ever before to cut through all of the noise of social media. And I want to hear your thoughts on that, because you've been at the forefront of just getting books in front of human beings' eyes for so long. How have you seen it change?
It just keeps getting harder. Should I be really depressing?
No, be really. No, I want you to be really depressing, because we have a lot of authors that listen. We have a lot of women who want to be writers. And then we also have a lot of readers. And I think dissecting the interior world of publishing and book influence, it just shows us more about what goes into the content that we just want people to enjoy.
It's true. Well, to your point, there is so much noise, and it's not just from other bookfluencers, but it's everywhere. It used to just be the newspapers and magazines, but it comes at us now from every single angle. Other authors, YouTube, TikTok, every social platform, everyone is hawking something. And it's not just a product. It is something meaningful and probably great and amazing, but there's just not enough time to read all the books. And sometimes it feels like there's not enough shoppers of books, readers of books. And it's harder and harder. That's why I feel like the book clubs, the major book clubs, are one of the only ways that people definitely buy the book. But those are only a couple books a month, and maybe those aren't even the books for you. I think that people have this natural instinct to want to read and other things that people are reading, right? We miss that water cooler conversation about TV shows and things. And I think the bestseller lists now have ratcheted up. I mean, they've always been important, but even in my bookstore, I have a bookstore in Santa Monica now, Zibby's Bookshop, and people come in all the time, and sometimes with the bestseller list in hand. I need these books, or what can I get? Or everyone's reading Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow. Everyone's reading Lessons in Chemistry. I've got to read it. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just people want to be part of what people are talking about. So if you are not one of those books, you're already at a disadvantage. How do you create conversation around a book that is not in the news and all of that? So I think you're up against some formidable challenges, but it's not insurmountable. It's just a challenge. And then I think that the role, per your comment, of the bookfluencer or anybody who wants to uplift other authors or readers is that much more important, because without all of that support, what is left? Sometimes publicity, and you can be a People magazine pick and people are still not reading it. It doesn't work the way it used to.
I want to take a quick break here. And when we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about how people can find books that they actually want to read. Under the Influence is brought to you by Editude. I am obsessed with my Editude sheets. They are insanely soft and cozy, and it feels like I'm just leaping into bed in a cloud or in a really fancy hotel, which is pretty much exactly how I want to fall asleep every single night. Now, They really do feel unlike anything else that I've ever slept on, and they're not going to cost you the same amount that a lot of the really, really stupidly expensive sheets are costing these days, because right now you can get $35 off your first order of $175 or more with the code INFLUENCE. These crazy soft clean bamboo sheets have over 20,000 five-star reviews. That is a lot of five-star reviews, and if I could get the Sicilian Inheritance 20,000 five-star reviews, I mean, I'd do pretty much anything. Anything. In a controlled sleep study, sleep efficacy was improved by 1.5% per night, racking up a whopping extra 43 hours of sleep per year for people. It's pretty great. I mean, look, I prioritize sleep over almost everything else in my life. I prioritize it over my husband sometimes. I definitely prioritize it over watching TV. Sleep is so important for me to be able to function as a woman, as a mother, as an author, just as a person in the world. And simply put, I sleep really well on these Etitude sheets. And the company is so sure that you're going to love sleeping with them that you can try any Etitude bedding risk-free for 30 nights. And if you're not completely satisfied, you can return it for a full refund. Never miss a good night's rest and recovery again with Etitude. And don't forget, you can get $35 off your order of $175 or more, plus free shipping for a limited time when you visit etitude.com/underTheInfluence. Under the Influence is also brought to you by Quince. We have some new sponsors on this show, but it took us a while to get here because I'm only letting advertisers in when I genuinely like their products. And these guys are folks that I actually really, really love. I do. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items that are priced within reach. A lot of my girlfriends just discovered Quince. I only just discovered them when we started talking about working together. And I freaking love them. I love them. I've ordered so many things from them. I've gotten the Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50. I've gotten their yoga pants. I've gotten their joggers. I've gotten so many great pieces that are functional, but also beautiful, that look great, and people compliment me all the time. I packed a bunch of them for Sicily. It's easy luxury, and that's what I want in my life right now. I want easy luxury. I want easy luxury that is not insanely expensive. The best part is that all Quince items are priced about 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And by partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middlemen and then passes the savings on to you. I wear these yoga pants all the time. I wear them to yoga, and then I put on a Quince blazer. And I wear yoga pants with a blazer, and I look all professional and stuff. I do. So indulge in affordable luxury. Indulge in easy luxury. Go to quince.com/influence for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's a whole year. A whole year. It's quince, quince.com/influence to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/influence. Okay, one last brand that I love that I talk about all the time. You've heard me talk about these guys, Honeylove Shapewear. One of my girlfriends and I were getting ready together the other day, which is such a treat. I miss getting ready with my girlfriends. Like, remember that when you would just get changed together and put your makeup on together? Anyway, we both took off our sweaters at the same time and we were both wearing the same Honeylove bra. And then we had kind of a Honeylove moment. I love this shapewear. I love their bras. I love their shorts. It sucks you in where you want to be sucked in, but it's not too tight. It's not uncomfortable. It's never going to roll down. And my favorite thing about Honeylove is that it has a little area in the crotch. I hate that word. It's a gross word, but it has an area where you can pee without having to take off the shorts. And that just feels magical to me, because when I'm out and about, especially because I wear a lot of jumpsuits and onesies, I don't want to take off the whole onesie and then also take off the shapewear just to pee. I want to be able to wear the shapewear and pee at the same time. That is very, very important to me. I love Honeylove. Their best-selling superpower shorts are my go-to. They've got this targeted compression technology that like sucks you in where you want to be sucked in, but then like lets the rest of your body just kind of do its thing, which I really like because I love my body. I do. I wore the Honeylove bra and shorts in my author photos for Sicilian Inheritance, and now they're in these magazines all over the world. And I'm like, who's that? Who's that lady? She looks hot. She looks good. So treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/influence. Yes, once again, you can use our exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/influence. And when you purchase, they're going to ask you where you heard about them. Support the show. Tell them we sent you. Treat yourself to Honeylove. You deserve it. And we are back. I want to take you back to the dark ages. And by dark ages, I mean the mid-2000s-ish. It was a different world, my friends. And I think I liked it better. I do. When I started writing novels a little over 10 years ago, getting a mention, getting the book of the week in People magazine was freaking huge. And then you would get a smattering of other reviews. There would be word of mouth. You might get to appear on one of the morning television shows, but you didn't necessarily have to. And that was a good, solid path to selling a lot of books and to entering the zeitgeist. And now I feel like you have to do everything everywhere all at once. unless you are one of those chosen books for the book clubs. And I was a GMA book club pick, which was amazing. We Are Not Like Them was a GMA book club pick. And that just kind of catapulted it in the people's awareness in a really awesome way, because I think people are hungry to discover books, but we've lost so many places for them to do that. And I don't know the answer. I don't think the answer is just following every bookstagrammer in the world. I love bookstagrammers. That's what I was talking about earlier. I also do think that reviews used to be very siloed into an ivory tower of media professionals who lived in New York City. That was not good either. And now you have bookstagrammers who are all over the country, who are all different kinds of people. And that's cool as shit. But there's so many people, and our attention is being pulled in so many directions that no one is necessarily unifying behind one book, or they are unifying behind just one book, and you can't discover a lot of different kinds of books for different people.
Also true. I mean,
your face right now is really excellent.
No, you're absolutely right. What your comment makes me think is, okay, well, each person should pick someone that they feel like they might have similar taste with, or they respect, or any of that. Not that that's the silver bullet. I mean, on my podcast, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books, every single day I profile an author. So that's 365 books. Who has time to read 365 books? No one. But the point is exposure. And what appeals to you when you get to know the authors better? So I still stand by that premise, which is if you get to know the author of the book a little bit better, you might be more inclined to read the book, which is, of course, why you and I and other authors on the author side are out there trying to let people get to know us so that they're more likely to experience what we have to say. It's a challenge. But I do think that there is something to just having to still dip your toe in everything, because if you don't try to go for traditional media, then you lose a little credibility, right? It always helps to be able to say that you've gotten some sort of accolade, even if it doesn't necessarily move the sales needle for that week. It's still important. So it is hard. I think word of mouth is still so key. Mm-hmm. And that is something that none of us can intentionally do. All you can do is try to get the word out to as many readers and hope that the books for them rise to the top. I don't mean to sound dire. I think, you know, I'm a publisher too. I believe in all of this. And I think there is a way to break out, but it It's not a 1-2 punch. You can't rest on your laurels. And I think the authors have to know going in that they are going to be a vital part of getting their books out into the world. And you can't rely only on bookstagrammers. I mean, if you follow an account and every single day is a different book, does that help? I mean, I guess that's a question, versus fewer books, but then it's like a book club model. There's no silver bullet, but I believe that people who are trying to bring books to other people are important. And I believe that authors who recommend books hold a lot of weight, especially to me.
Yes, to all the things that you're saying. And I tell this to new authors all the time, people who are just publishing their first book. I say, it's going to be a hustle, but you can also enjoy the hustle. So one thing I love is that I love forging relationships with bookstagrammers. I love following them and talking to them about what they're enjoying right now. I love talking to readers, and I love finding inventive ways to reach readers. With Sicilian Inheritance, I'm doing some weird shit. I really am. Like, I have...
Yeah, what are you doing? What are your secrets?
I have no secrets. My secrets are that I wake up every morning and try something crazy and new. I have printed out a lot of note cards. Like, the publisher and I are working together. We've printed out a lot of note cards and flyers, and I give them to people in my everyday life now. Mm-hmm. I'm considering taping them into the back of bathroom stalls, because what better time do you have? You're usually, let's be honest, on your phone. And you're sitting there and you're like, you know what? I'm going to scan that QR code. Maybe this will be my new favorite book. I'm going on a cannoli crawl through Philadelphia with the Sicilian Inheritance, where we are choosing the official cannoli of the book that we shall be taking around the country. I mean, all of these things, which are fun and also exhausting. And so I tell new authors, getting your book in front of readers will be a full-time job. And that was not always the case, but it can be fun, right? You can do it with cannolis. You can do guerrilla marketing in bathroom stalls. I think that now you're a publisher now. Has it been 2 years since Zibby Books was officially founded?
Yes, it has. 2 years since it was founded, and then our book started coming out this February of 2023. Yes.
Yeah.
But yes,
and, yeah.
It was the summer of 2021. And it started. And yes, here we are, deep in one book a month.
Which is amazing. And you're also a bookstore owner. So you're seeing this from every possible angle, because I would also call you a book influencer on the interwebs and an author. And this is like a 4-point kind of, you're like, I'm literally all of the things.
Mm-hmm.
And so with Zibby Books, I think you've been trying some really interesting stuff too. Like, what have you guys been doing that has been working?
Yes, we are doing lots of things to try to break out our books. We have 1,000 Zibby Books ambassadors all over the country and are relying on them to stay in touch with their local indies and spread the word. We have brand partnerships for every book, which have been really interesting. We have a big partnership with Moleskine, and different books have different themed arrangements. So for our book, Women Are the Fiercest Creatures, we partnered with Citizens of Humanity, and they made these amazing t-shirts for International Women's Day and tote bags that we could give out, and did a whole influencer campaign of their own. Everything from, custom pencils to stationery. We have a book coming out called The Last Love Note, and are partnering with stationery brands. So we are going that route as well. Big and small brand partnerships for each book. We have some other fun stuff up our sleeves for how to, even spread the word better through the bookstores. I mean, that's the other element is you can book fluence all you want, but if people walk into the store to go buy a book and they see another book they've heard of, they might not pick it up. So I think point of sale efforts are important. Getting your books into different venues, not just traditional bookstores, but all those, special sales opportunities, so to speak. We had a book called Wine People, which we sold at wine stores as well. So just trying to get the books in lots of different places, I think, is helpful. Being creative. I love your cannoli crawl. For every book, it's like, we have a book, Pierce Oysters, coming out. We're partnering with oyster restaurants. Like, how the fun, different things to make a book not just when people are thinking about what book to buy, but are just going about their lives and, oh, here's a book.
Exactly. I think about that a lot. One of my crazy business ideas that I have had for a long time, and we've talked about this before, that I want to open a bookstore at some point. But, you know, that can be a really steep curve to overcome. But I love the idea of hitting people with books wherever they are. Mm-hmm. So the idea of creating kind of a very easy, portable, mobile book company where you curate the books every month, you handle the selections for them, you write little recommendation cards, and our local coffee shop could have a shelf of 5 or 6 different titles, or the local wine shop, as you said, or like the adorable place that I walk in to buy baby and housewarming gifts, just to make it really easy, because shopkeepers tell me all the time, they're like, I just don't understand the whole buying and selling of books, like the ordering system. And I don't know anything about books, so I can't curate them myself. So what if we could bring that to people? Because I think that books should be discovered in everyday life, hence my putting flyers of the Sicilian inheritance in the bathroom stall of public restrooms.
Yeah. I mean, we are doing that. We have it hasn't been announced yet, but we have a partnership with a hotel chain coming where we have a shelf in different hotels where we're going to be distributing and curating based on the hotel's location and mm-hmm. themes. And that's been really fun. So that's launching in shortly. But then someone else we're talking to who wants to start a bunch of pumping stations, and could I curate the books? So mm-hmm. I think this is happening. I think I'm excited to be a part of any of those efforts. I totally agree that curation in lots of places is important and helpful and fun, right? You want to be exposed to fun things with like a wink and a nod and not take things so seriously. I mean, the books themselves are escapist joys. I mean, that we're not trying to sell, you know, I don't know, some sort of medical product or I don't know, something boring. Like these are really great products. So there's just no standardization of how good it is when you just see all these beautiful book jackets. How do you know? How do you know it's worth your time? So I think it's hard.
One of the things that I really like that you do in your bookstore in Santa Monica is you break it up into non-traditional categories, I would say. So are you an anxious reader, or mm-hmm. is your friend a foodie? Things like that. And I think that those kinds of recommendations are also very helpful. I would rather see more lists like that, or more Bookstagram, TikTok videos of like, is your friend recently going through a divorce? Here are 5 books that they will just love. Like, I think we need to just guide readers a little bit more.
I literally just did that shelf. Literally. Someone came in when I was there this weekend and said, my friend's going through a divorce and what should I give them? And I was like, oh, I've been through a divorce. Hold on. Here are like 20 books you should read. And I was like, why don't we have a shelf? So we're redoing our shelves. And now we're having a whole love and heartbreak vertical with getting through a bad marriage, like getting through a hard divorce. But yes, all of our shelves are designed to help discovery. And I'm in the process of trying to patent this curation system, but I don't know why it's not done more. And I want to scale it if I can. But having books that make you cry, books that make you laugh, books for the foodie, coming of age, coming of middle age, you know, humor books about aging, you know, all these funny things that are designed to help people get it down to, say, 30 books or 15 books and mm-hmm. choose from those instead of an entire, you know, 4-story place where how on earth are you going to find a book that speaks to you? It's like, where do you even start?
Very difficult. Very, very difficult. I will happily curate a shelf for you of Do You Wish You Were on an Adventure in Italy?
I am starting. We have a new shelf, rom-com abroad or something, or not rom-com, romance abroad. Mm-hmm. So if you have suggestions, for sure, let us know.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Yeah. I have a ton of suggestions.
And a shelf just for the traveler in general. If you want to escape, we have how do you want to escape? If you want to escape by traveling or by going outside or all these other ways to escape.
Yes, 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 again. And yes, that is how I want to be told what my next great read is. And I love the book clubs because they do give us great book recommendations, but there are only really 3 big book clubs a month. And that's there's thousands of books published a month.
It's true.
Yeah. Who do you follow, or what is your social media curation in terms of TikTok? Because I am late getting to TikTok and BookTok, and I'm trying to figure it out. I'm wrapping my head around it. Lee Stein is actually coming on the show to help me, because when I don't know something about something, I ask smart people, people smarter than me, to come on and help me. How have you embraced BookTok?
I've done what you've done. I reached out to an author named Alex Astor, who was on my show.
Oh, we did this together.
Oh, right. Oh, my gosh. We totally did.
God.
I forgot all about that. We did.
We totally did this together. Yes.
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 So, yes, back a little bit ago, you and I were both trying to figure it out and reached out to Alex Astor to give us tips. And then I tried it myself. Here is where I've landed. I am not personally good at or particularly interested in the TikTok medium. I don't know why. My kids keep being like, if you just would dance, you know, you'll get more views. I'm like, I am not willing to dance to sell books. I'll do a lot of other things, mm-hmm. but I just, and I know that's not all that's required. I know what is required, but I think part of selling books or being successful is finding a medium that you feel you can shine in and doing that well. I really like Instagram. I love photography. I love the idea that you can pair a photo with a caption and that it's just the right amount of text, that it's almost like a short article. I can't ignore BookTok. I understand it's selling tons of books. I go on every so often and I'm like, okay, what is everybody doing here? Okay, everybody's showing, you know, the back of books and then one spine. Okay, I get it. I see that. So I think it's really important to stay up on the trends. We have a new Zibby Books TikTok account, and some of the younger girls on my team are helping with that. But in terms of me personally, I don't know. I'm not, it's not my medium. And I think that's mm-hmm. okay.
Mm-hmm.
But it is really driving book sales. And, you know, we have young girls coming into our store looking for some of the rom-coms they hear on BookTok and all that. So it is moving the needle. But it's not necessarily for everyone.
I agree. I'm bad at making videos, and I think it's okay to be bad at things and to admit that we're not great at everything. And I think I have a lot of like interesting video ideas, but maybe they're better for Instagram Reels. I don't know, but it is okay to not be amazing at all of the things. I am enjoying BookTok more. After you and I talked to Alex and I've been following Lee Stein, I finally figured out how to curate my BookTok mm-hmm. so that it wasn't, because for a while I just felt like, and I say this so often, I had sat on a remote control and the channels kept changing on me all the time
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and I had no control. But now I feel like I have a little more control and I'm enjoying it for the first time, which is more than I can say for before.
Okay. I mean, I'm not giving up on it. It's an important outlet. They're all important outlets. I follow it the way I get all the newsletters from all the different book curation, everything. I mean, I feel like I try to stay on top of all of the things, which is hard, but also important. So, and also fun.
And also fun. That's the thing. I think we have to make sure that we still enjoy it. And yes. that's the biggest message I want to give authors who or maybe disheartened by the hustle. You have to enjoy it, because if you don't enjoy it, then you could find something else to do. I have no other skills, so I'm screwed. I have to keep writing books. I mean, I can't do anything else but make podcasts and write books.
Those are really big things. You are amazing. you're crazy. You're like, you're just crazy.
But yeah, you have to enjoy the hustle. You have to do the hustle, but then you have to enjoy the hustle. And I think you are a person who does the hustle, and I think you're also enjoying the hustle. I'm loving all of the things that you're doing right now.
Thank you. Well, I think this whole entrepreneurial spirit where you have to test and try, I think that plays into it. I mean, I love starting things, seeing how they do, getting all the data, pivoting, trying something new. Like, I really enjoy things like that. I don't view something failing as a stop. That's just information on where to go next. So I think you have to have that attitude, like test, try, pivot, keep going, have fun. try crazy ideas, like go, you know, like pair a cannoli with a book, you know, do all these fun things. And why not?
Why not?
Why not? Why not try?
Yes. Yes. I think that's great advice for everyone in every industry and aspect of our life. That'll be the title of this episode.
Okay.
Why not try?
Why not try? There
why
you go.
Not try?
Yeah. It's like, why did I start a publishing company? Let's just try it.
Let's try it. Let's say
could be terrible.
Could be awesome. It's probably awesome.
That's all we have for today. I loved being here with you. I loved being here with Zibby. Listening to this episode, which I recorded a while ago, actually really shook me out of myself. Because I've been burnt out, as you could tell from the introduction to this show. I've been burnt out from doing all of the things. But this conversation with Zibby reminded me of exactly the advice that I give other people, which is, you have to fucking enjoy it. And I haven't been enjoying it as much as I should, and I'm gonna go take my own advice. Thanks for that, Joe Piazza. Appreciate you. Now, I would love for you to take my advice and go do something nice for yourself. And also, go tell one of your girlfriends that she's doing an awesome job. She's an awesome mom. She's incredible at work. Just go compliment someone in person, on text. They're really gonna appreciate it. Talk more soon. Bye.
Did you know Bridgestone developed a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials? Making a difference today for future generations. That's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.